the hard shoulder. Now, earlier this afternoon, I was delighted to speak to Dermot Bannon about the new season of his show Incredible Homes. It begins this Sunday night, 9:30 p.m. on RTE1 and the RTE player. In it, Dermot leads us on a tour around some of the most architecturally stunning homes in the world. It is season two, and obviously we're in the midst of a pandemic. So I wondered whether the second season was filmed pre-COVID. Had he been jet-setting around the world again?
No, it's, we jet-setted to Canada, which was last week's episode, and that was it. Everything, our wings were clipped. We were due to go to Spain a couple of weeks later. All of the research had been done, bags were packed, and we were travelling on a Thursday, and it got cancelled on Wednesday afternoon. Spain went into lockdown on Sunday, Ireland the following week, so that's it. We kind of then said to ourselves, Will we, maybe in July, maybe in September, and it just looked like we're not going anywhere for another year. So we said we'll make one in Ireland, because at least you can put it out as a two-parter as opposed to one. And so I was thrilled, because I knew there was tons of exciting buildings here and stuff to look at. And it was a bit like, I don't know, anybody who brings friends of theirs who are not from their town or their village to their town, their village, and you're showing them around, and this is where you have a pint, and this is where you go for mass, and this is where you do, and you're kind of, you know, the way you're kind of very proud of it, and you're saying, oh, this is, yeah, look at this, like, and you think it's, so I was a bit like that with the producers and directors and all that, bringing them around and showing them. It was just a really nice show to make, and kind of celebrating all the best of Irish architecture. And it's not like what people, it's not the kind of the easy stuff. Like, an easy house to look at would have been a big house on a cliff with a massive,
yeah, I was going to ask that, like, what qualifies as an incredible home in an Irish context, you know, because, well, we can think of those amazing settings, but is it the setting or is it the home, or how does it
Okay, so the way we start our research is always to go to the local Institute of Architects and ask what buildings have won awards. And then it's kind of distilling them down to houses that don't look similar. Because sometimes, like when we went to Canada, nearly all their award-winning buildings looked some form of a cabin. They're always clad in timber. The shapes might have been different. So you're trying to select something that looks a bit different. Also, when we go abroad, we try and tell, it's a bit like a travelogue, and we try and tell a story of the country through its buildings. So when you go to Sweden, it's all about being plunged into darkness at 1 o'clock and very, very dark, dismal winters. How do you get through all of that? So we told that story through its buildings and how they use materials and their connection to nature. There's no point in me starting off this, God, so it gets really damp in Ireland and it gets very wet. You had to find something a bit different. And again, there was no point in me doing loads of walking around Dublin saying Dublin is great and Dublin. People know all that. So there was an awful lot of the stuff that we would put into the shows that we just had to cut through because people were already aware of it. Mm. And we had to go for buildings that were going as, and again, you couldn't go for the kind of the really just big, fancy, expensive houses, because people aren't going to learn anything from that. They know Irish houses. They know the eccentricities of the Irish house. They know what it's, and even the really kind of fancy big ones, they know they had to be something slightly different and something that would test you and test me, and I'd learn something from. So they're very different to what you might see in Malibu in Australia, because sometimes there can be a little bit of a transfer between the two of them. I remember going to Sydney and thinking a lot of these houses wouldn't look out of place in Los Angeles, whereas the houses that we see are very specifically Irish. And even the homeowners, we've got a nurse and a farm who built a farmer who built a farmhouse in Cavan, and that's one that tests everybody the most.
Oh, well, give me an example then of some of those things, the eccentricities of the Irish house, as you said, the things that exist here in a house that don't exist in LA, in Malibu, or in Sydney, Australia.
Yeah, I suppose it's really our respect for the land. And I think, especially when it comes to award winning building, like, we do have a history of kind of building wherever we like and around the country. And maybe it's probably mightn't have been the best thing to do. But I think a lot of the sites that we are, like, where we filmed are stunning locations, right? So, and a lot of the sites we are, to me, are considered national park levels. So how do you build a building there? And sometimes, like, the house down in Goleen in West Cork is quite a big house. So how do you put a big house onto the Mizzen Peninsula on what is a stunning location that, you know, you can see it from the sea, you can see it. And so the architect kind of treated it like big boulders bursting out of the rock. They're completely covered in limestone. So they look like big chunks of rock that have pushed up through the grass, through the heathers. And there's five individual buildings. So he's broken down the scale of it. So he didn't build this one big house. He built five little houses. all connected with these glass links. The house we did, there's a stunning one up, Tún na Mara, up in Donegal. And the architects themselves didn't want to build on the site. They thought it was too beautiful. It's right on the beach. So the whole idea behind the house is, have you ever seen kind of a weather station or something in the Arctic?
Where yes, it's
almost looks like a machine.
Yeah.
So clad in metal. And even there was a ramp up to the house that made it look like a platform. He said it was inspired by a train. Something that almost looks like it's passing through. So it's not a permanent mark on the landscape. So even though it's a permanent house, it'll be there forever. It has a feeling of transient, which then makes it kind of, it's kind of acceptable to place it onto a beach. In the same way you don't mind when you go for a walk on the beach and you see that, you know, the little huts that they put there for the lifeguards. You know, but if that was a permanent structure, you'd think, Jesus, they've just destroyed the beach by building that there. But by lifting in a container that would probably be there for, you know, 50 or 60 years, it doesn't seem to offend us as much. And that's what the whole thing. So the architects were really struggling to come up with a form or a shape or something that could work on the beach. So they said, well, let's forget about all that. Let's make it almost industrial. Let's make it really, and it's black and it's stealth-like. It's everything you wouldn't expect from a building that you're trying to blend in with the landscape. But God, when you see it from the drone shots, we're so lucky now to be able to use a drone in filming, and you go out to the sea and you come in at it, like the house literally disappears, and it's all the other bungalows around it are the things that you see. It's only when you're up close, and it's really special and very spectacular.
Does that type of architecture, that type of design, is it common enough in Ireland? I'm thinking that, you know, we don't do the ubiquitous yellow bungalow on the side of the road really anymore, but what you do see an awful lot of is these buildings that and homes and these one-off houses that, and they're not brutalist in terms of the architectural definition, but they're big and square, and there's some zinc and cedar and big windows, and it sits bang right in this field, right in the landscape. Yeah. And it's not the big square house and the big square field with the 10 windows that drives me absolutely bonkers when I see it, but it's kind of the modern version of it.
Yeah. And I do think, look, I suppose...
I've insulted half my friends there, by the way, I should just...
That's okay. I do that every day when I'm describing houses and I say, oh, these awful houses. Most of my family as well. But it's... No, I think there's trends in architecture. And what happens is, okay, so somebody might have built a house and plonked it into the middle of a site 20 years ago, and we kind of know what that looks like. Now what is happening, they're still doing that, but they're cladding it in cedar, or they're putting a zinc bay window onto it or something. And I suppose they partially feel that that's kind of making it a bit more contemporary and a bit more, but it's not about that. Like, architecture is deeper, and like, we only have minutes. Architecture 6 years in college, but it is deeper than that, and it is about the size, the shape, you know, the form of the building, how it sits. Like, you know, they did it really well 150 years ago, you know, when they were building farmhouses. You never see an old farmhouse looking out of place in the landscape.
No.
Because they knew where it was sheltered. They knew how to bury it into the side of a kind of a hill or somewhere like that. They always knew, they were in touch with the landscape. Now we kind of still kind of look at our house plans and we think, oh, I really love that. The windows work very well. But we never look at it in context. We never look at, like, the amount of times people have come to me with a set of plans and there's no north point on it. And I say, well, where does the sun rise and set? And they've no idea. sometimes these guys are building the house next week and they say, no, I just really needed to know where should I put my television. I'm thinking, the television is the least of your worries here. You know, it means that half your house is going to be in darkness. So people sometimes look like they're building a contemporary house, but actually what it is sometimes it's a little bit of a veneer onto what was an older type of house, and they've just put, as you said, the cedar cladding on the outside, or the zinc bay windows, or the zinc dormer. We're getting engaged with it, but we still have a little bit to go, I think.
And tell me, just, I suppose, beyond the show then, Incredible Homes in general, the industry, it's kind of a bit topsy-turvy, I suppose. We're kind of, you know, we're in the tender process of our own build at the moment, I should admit. Live on air, which isn't a lot of fun, Dermot.
What's that called? Full disclosure, isn't it?
Yeah, full disclosure. I tell you, it's not a lot of fun, this process.
No.
But
I went through it last year, and I'm in the industry, so I found it incredibly stressful. So
yeah, I know. One of the the stumbling blocks we've come across, and not just us, I suppose, our architect and builders, is just things like the supply of labour and supply of materials and the timber prices that, you know, 6 months ago were one price and today are, you know, 12, I think 13% higher maybe. I assume you're grappling with all that as well.
You do, I suppose, but it is constantly changing, and it's to do with supply and demand. So if there was a massive shortage of timber being imported or being felled or whatever during lockdown, then that's going to have a knock-on effect now. Mm. And I suppose, like, as you said, what's the industry like? In our own industry, like, we're fine at the moment. Like, we're working away, everything's back in the office. But I suppose really what we're going to see is that next year, it's everything that's happened over the last 6 months. What is that going to knock the economy a bit? Is there going to be a bit of a recession? Nobody really knows what's going to happen, because it's a worldwide thing. So are they going to just kickstart all economies? Are we going to go back to where we were? Who knows? But at the moment, things seem to be okay. Thank God. The construction sites haven't closed down this time. And so we're still working. We're still in the office. We're still busy. We just, things are a little bit different. I'm back filming Room to Improve. Like, none of that has stopped. It's just, you have to stand 2 meters from everybody, wear a mask when you're not, you know, and I like walking behind somebody around in on a site, you have to make sure you're the 2 meters apart. So I always arrive on camera 5 seconds after them. So it's,